Washington State now has the strongest clean electricity law in the nation. That's how many environmentalists describe new regulations that will force utilities to make electricity without producing any greenhouse gas emissions by the year 2045. This isn't the state's first attempt to do something about climate change. More than a decade ago, another law set benchmarks for reducing greenhouse gases across many sectors, including agriculture and transportation. Daniel Schwartz has been tracking these regulations, and he's the director of the University of Washington's Clean Energy Institute. He spoke with KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe to give us some context on the new clean electricity law.
So this 100% clean electricity bill is being touted as the strongest clean electricity bill in the nation. And let's listen to Jay Inslee, our governor, at signing.
From today forward, Washington State is leading in the effort to defeat climate change. That's what we're doing today.
So what do you think? Is that fair?
Well, I think that the idea that by 2030 we will be carbon neutral in our electricity is on a timeline very aggressive compared to the other four states that have 100% clean energy. There's also a social justice dimension to this where there are incentives, not mandates, but incentives to bring in high labor standards and whatnot. And when you look at what our U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says about fastest growing jobs in the next 10 years, solar installers and wind service tech are number one and number two.
Wow.
And so bringing in the idea that we want those to be good family wage jobs at the same time, I think that that's a pretty progressive step.
So it's aggressive. Now, how feasible is it really to stop getting electricity from coal in 2025 and be 100% free of carbon emissions by 2045? Are we going to be able to do it?
Well, I think so. To a large degree, I think most utilities are starting to accelerate their depreciation of their coal-fired assets. It's just happening by the economics of energy today. So I think that part, no problem. I kind of focus on the 2030 goal as much as the 2045 goal.
Because this is the carbon neutral part.
Carbon neutral. And I love it as an engineer. I love the way that they've structured the 2030 to make it feasible. If anybody can do it, it should be Washington State. We already start from a position where the average American emits 40-some percent more greenhouse gases than us.
Because we're so dependent on hydropower.
Exactly right. 70-plus percent of our electricity already is decarbonized. So if anybody can make the next jump, it would be us.
What do you see as the biggest challenges in this transition?
One of the biggest challenges is that this doesn't go far enough. It doesn't meet our 2035 statutory requirements.
For carbon reduction.
For carbon reduction, exactly. So I was on the Governor Gregoire's 2012 Technical Advisory Committee for our state energy strategy. And in 2012, we thought, oh yeah, the long-term goals we might be able to make, but 2035 is going to be really hard to make. Well, this gets us almost all the way to 2035, but it's not quite enough. Moreover, as climate science has gotten better, I think we could say that our 2035 goals are not aggressive enough for what kinds of greenhouse gas reductions we as a nation have to do. So the biggest challenge, I think, is that this is an amazing first step. You always have to take a first step. And in that first step, I think we're going to find the creativity and innovation that this spurs in the electricity system. That is going to show us that it's low cost. Then the next question is, when do we set our next more aggressive targets after we prove we can do this?
Isn't a big part of the problem, though, that we did not get, for example, the clean fuel standard, and transportation emissions are actually the biggest portion of our greenhouse gas pollution here?
Transportation, pretty much everywhere, is one or two for the emissions because it's a very inefficient sector. But at the same time, I'm kind of optimistic from the perspective of where technology is going. All vehicles now are becoming more electric vehicles, whether they're hybrids, the number of models out there that are pushing efficiency up. So the policy didn't quite make it there. We may still make it because of this trend in the marketplace.
Do you expect it to be mostly solar energy that we're moving more toward, or is it a mix?
It's going to be a mix. I guarantee you there will be more solar, more wind, because on a cost basis, those are low cost. But some utility districts have lots of hydro capacity. They may do improvements. They may go above and beyond in improving the efficiencies or some of the ways they manage their hydro resources. And so it'll be a mix.
So what do you think average consumers will notice as this transition progresses?
They may start getting more solicitations from their utility about ways that they can help them do energy efficiency in their home. You know, we'll give you a big discount on energy efficient windows or weatherize your home. We've got money to help you. Those are some of the things that are incentivized and that we'll see more of, I think, coming down the line. Some commercial consumers may start having pricing deals that look a little different, like if you participate in a demand response thing. If your company can turn down its machines in 1 hour increments, we'll pay you.
Will this cost me more?
I would say that as a consumer, you'll be getting incentivized to save energy. That will be lowering your costs, but the rates may go up a little bit. And you're a bill payer, not a rate payer. You just look at, was that a $50 bill or a $55 bill? And I think it's hard to predict because there's a lot of incentives for you to save money. And then there is potential for them to increase the cost by 2% a year. There is built-in protections and accommodations to ensure that this plan is aligned with managing energy costs for low-income users.
So it sounds like overall you're really very excited about this law passing.
I am super excited. I honestly think it's going to unleash a lot of innovation, especially between now and 2030. While there's flexibility in the law for complying, and everything we do that's on a shorter time horizon is important for climate change. And I think this bill has incentives in the short term to let us innovate so that it's easier, lower cost, to do the long-term things we need to do and that we can be a model for the nation.
Daniel Schwartz, director of the University of Washington's Clean Energy Institute, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bellamy.